So of course, gold is going to go up because there's a large enough percentage of the population that still believe in gold. That's all they understand, really. It's not because they don't believe in Bitcoin.
They can lock you out of your profits. It will, if they so choose. If this starts to run away and that's not something that someone wants, if hedge funds are shorting it or, you know.
Bitcoin is money. Everything else, whether it's MicroStrategy or Metaplanet, these are all paper gains.
You cannot live a life controlled by a bunch of Looney Tunes. And you're seeing Clown World play out even amongst themselves. So if they are like this within their own, you know, elite group, so to speak, like how much value do you think they put on you, the pleb?
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. We've got Tony and Mr. Greer Hall, aka Bird Flip, is back. Gents, we got a lot of news to get to, so let's jump in. Up first, the big story this week, gold and Bitcoin are now the top performing assets so far in 2025. We've seen Bitcoin in particular absolutely rip the last week or so. I don't even remember when it started at this point, but I think we've taken a little dip. We're at 117,000 now. I think we hit 122 or 3 maybe. Like it went up there. So Greer, interesting that we would have, you know, typically gold rips in times of economic uncertainty, high inflation. What do you think? But there's also obviously the bond market has been struggling, and that's sort of been the safe haven asset, generally speaking, for a long, long time. What do you think is going on here?
Yeah, I think it's, it's countries that are and central banks that are looking for a way to get out of the U.S. dollar. So I think Poland is the number one purchaser of gold bullion, you know, this year, followed closely by China. And then there's some other countries, Kazakhstan and Azerbaijan. So we're seeing people that used to rely on the U.S. dollar go into a safer asset. You know, I think if you are a Bitcoiner, you know, you're kind of watching on the outside, knowing that Bitcoin typically pumps after gold does. But again, you know, a pump in gold moving up $1,000 is nothing compared to Bitcoin going up by 12,000 over, you know, the last 4 or 5 days. So I think, you know, I know where I want to put my money, but this is, in my opinion, the central banks looking to secure their wealth for the future, which, of course, as we know, gold's not going to be the best store of asset.
Yeah. Tony, would you agree with that? And I'm curious, do you think that central banks are privately accumulating Bitcoin as well?
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I mean, this the fact that they're both number one and two tells me that people are panicked, like the world is scared, right? Something's about to break. And, you know, the telltale signs are that people are, you know, jumping into risk-off assets that they understand. So, of course, gold is going to go up because there's a large enough percentage of the population that still believe in gold. That's all they understand, really. It's not because they don't believe in Bitcoin or they just don't know enough about it to feel comfortable making large purchases. That could be in part. However, I don't think, you know, we're going back to the fax machine either, which is why I don't think gold is, you know, the future of, you know, risk-off assets. But it's going to take some time, you know, for a certain, you know, percentage of the global population to understand what it is, to learn it, not to fear it. And, you know, before you know it, it'll all head to Bitcoin because it's the only asset you can know with 100% certainty that you can trust and that nobody can screw around with. So it's very bullish news for those that are in gold or Bitcoin. It's terrible news for those that understand nothing other than, you know, complaining about prices going up. Either way, it's bad news for the global economy. For the U.S. dollar, it's terrible news. I mean, like you said, Greer, people are finding many creative ways to, you know, to wean off of it. And that's only going to accelerate. So gold, Bitcoin, I think are the two best horses right now. At some point, Bitcoin will destroy gold.
Not even close. It'll be really interesting to see. You know, I don't know how long it'll take, but sometime, you know, 2, 3, 5 years from now, I think we're going to start to finally, people are going to expose, oh yeah, we've been buying, you know, Bitcoin and are, you know, keeping it in a reserve for the last, you know, 7 years or something like that. It'll be a very fun time to see who those countries are. I think it's going to be a lot of smaller countries in particular, honestly, who are dependent on the dollar and don't want to be, like the El Salvadors of the world. So it'll be a wild ride as we begin to hear some of those announcements coming out, I believe. All righty. So Greer, you shared a tweet. You said there's no outperforming Bitcoin. Here's why Bitcoin is a five-star asset while everything else is 3 stars and below. Instead of me walking through that tweet thread in detail, why don't you just sort of share what your thoughts were there?
Yeah, I see a lot of people saying they're going to invest in MicroStrategy or some other derivative that they've created or Metaplanet, whatever these Bitcoin treasury companies are, and then it'll outpace the Bitcoin. So what they think is, you know, they're getting more wealthy by investing in one of these alternative assets, but you're only getting wealthy in paper. You're not getting wealthy in Bitcoin terms. So yes, your custodial account with your broker might go up in value, but that's not real money. That's permissioned. You have to log in. You have to ask for permission to access it, to move the funds, to use the funds. There's layers of permissions that can be revoked. And whether or not Fidelity or BlackRock will remove your permissions is a question. But the point is, you're not getting rich in Bitcoin terms. You know, Bitcoin is money. Everything else, whether it's MicroStrategy or Metaplanet, these are all paper gains. So while you might be getting more wealthy on paper, you're not getting a better asset than Bitcoin. Bitcoin's decentralized, permissionless. Nobody can stop you from using it, and nobody controls it. So while you think you're getting ahead, the truth is that you're getting less Bitcoin over time. You know, money, it does not hold the value that it used to. It would be like someone saying, you know, I've collected a whole lot of seashells, or look at all this sand that I have. Like, yes, you can buy some things with money, but you can't buy what you used to be able to purchase with it. So I just don't think getting rich on paper is as good as getting rich in Bitcoin.
Yeah. And here's what I think. I wouldn't be surprised if over some stretch of time, people, the dollar denominated value of MicroStrategy, or I'm not making a particular pick, but some of these treasury companies outpace the dollar denominated increase in Bitcoin. The problem that people miss is you have to really, really surpass it to win even in dollar terms because of capital gains taxes, first of all. And that could be significant depending on your jurisdiction. But also you have to recognize all of the risks that you're taking on to gain maybe an incremental, you know, gain in terms of in fiat terms. And for me, if the whole ball game is to earn and is to accumulate as much Bitcoin as you can, you've completely missed you've completely missed the point, is my opinion. So major risks, you're only gaining fiat. And even if you dump that back into Bitcoin, you might still end up with less Bitcoin than if you had just purchased Bitcoin to begin with. So don't play games, guys. Not a financial advice. Just buy Bitcoin. Tony, I know what you think, but Tony, hang on. You've got sort of a related tweet here. Let's just move on to this one and you can give your thoughts on Greer's comments. So you said the statement always makes you laugh. I sold some Bitcoin for profit. Profit, you mean the toilet paper they print at will. You didn't make money. You got played. Clown move. Sort of hand in hand, you guys are thinking along the same lines this week.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. It cracks me up whenever somebody's cheering on that profit that they just made. It's very clear that too many people still don't understand money. You know, like the dollar, the euro, all these fiat currencies, that's not money. That is, you know, worthless paper that a bunch of people, you call them, describe them as you wish, are printing for nothing, right? So they live for free, and the people, the dummies, have to slave for it and get taxed for it and survive the debasement. For what? Like, you know, it's a tool of enslavement. You are literally just, you know, voluntarily staying in a cage when the door is wide open and you just have to step out into it, which is Bitcoin. So again, as I used to say previously, before 2008, you could argue maybe you didn't have a choice. But after 2008, I would argue you have no excuse. Stop believing in the dollar as money. It is not money. It is not going to make your life better. You cannot outpace its demise, its rate of demise. They're going to print on full throttle. There's no job in the world you're going to take that's going to pay you more than what it's dropping in value is. And there's no investment in ETFs or Bitcoin treasuries or any of that other garbage that's going to outpace the rate that it's headed to zero. So stop wasting time. Stop living in that delusion. Understand that Bitcoin is the only sound money for the simple fact that no living soul controls it. If you don't want to understand anything, understand this. The fact that no one can manipulate it is why it's so valuable and why it will become 100% the future of money and the world reserve currency, in my opinion. So the aim is to get more Bitcoin, not toilet paper. That is not the way to win. You are losing. You are being suckered into a game that they know they're ripping you off at.
Yeah, so I agree with all of that. I would also add, I think if people began to realize just how manipulated the current financial system is, they would step back and question everything that they're, any games that they're thinking about playing, FOMOing into these treasury companies. I was listening to, I think it was Las Vegas at the Bitcoin conference. I listened to a panel just the other day with Ben Werman, who we have on here. I think it was Peruvian Bull and then Ian Carroll. So really just interesting guys. And one of the things they were talking about was GameStop. And they were talking about like the, you know, they turned off the buy button and they turned, you know, like all these different things and like these centralized exchanges. It was, Greer, to your point, that permissioned nature of these investments. They can lock you out of your profits. It will, if they so choose. If this starts to run away and that's not something that someone wants, if hedge funds are shorting it, or, you know, you might just be out of luck and have no ability to reap those profits anyway. Read Larry Lepard's book, The Big Print. You realize there are a handful of people who have control of the reins, and it ain't you. You're not part of the club. So be mindful of, it might not even be as simple as, well, you take on this counterparty risk. It's like the counterparty risk might be Wall Street and the government stepping in and intervening. Even if you were about to, quote unquote, win in fiat terms, you might still lose. So account for all of those factors, because they really do come into play in many cases at certain points in time. So buyer beware. You need to really be thoughtful about how you approach these things. Any other comment on that? Or do you guys want to talk about
Yeah, just one small one. What you describe, where Robinhood kept their customers, one of which was me, from being able to purchase or move GameStop back in 2021 or whatever, that's what got me into Bitcoin. I was so pissed off that I wasn't able to use the platform. I knew nothing. You know, I had bought maybe a small amount of Bitcoin, $300 worth or something. But that's what turned me onto it. Getting locked out and not being able to use it. I was furious, you know, and that's right. Someone can control what you're able to do, but not with Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think that's well said. All righty, guys, let's talk about Jerome Powell. So Pulte, who is, remind me who he is, I always forget, U.S. Director of Federal Housing. So he, statement from the chairman of the board of Fannie Mae said that Jerome Powell is considering resigning. And Greer, you had sort of an interesting thesis on this, because to my knowledge, we haven't really seen this anywhere else. Like, this is not something Jerome Powell has publicly said. What do you think is going on?
Yeah, so I imagine Jerome Powell sitting in his office hearing about the reports that Trump's administration is putting out. And I looked for them. I couldn't find anything other than the fact that it appears that Pulte, you know, started a rumor. And it's now been, you know, repeated by Scott Bessent and a couple other guys. So I think Jerome Powell is the victim of a disinformation campaign. Not that he doesn't deserve it. As an outsider, you know, I think this is fantastic entertainment. You know, I can only imagine that Jerome Powell's running around telling people he has no plans to resign. You know, he's up in 26, and, you know, perhaps they'll get rid of him because he's making the Palace of Versailles or whatever with his $2.5 billion renovation. You know, it looks like Trump's administration has cause to remove him, but as far as the reports go, I think they're completely made up.
Interesting. Tony, I don't know if you have any thoughts on him resigning or not, but I would imagine that we all anticipate the whole point of getting rid of him, whether for cause or not, is Trump wants lower interest rates. He wants to put one of his buddies in there who's going to listen to him and do what he says. So we've completely disconnected this whole notion of an independent Federal Reserve. Not that it was ever fully, but like any mirage that we might have, you know, seen, you know, this being an independent agency, I think is effectively gone at this point. Tony, what's your take on all of this?
For me, it's very entertaining to see that the corruption has no boundaries or filters. Like, even amongst themselves, you know, if somebody doesn't like what you're doing, they're going to find a way to screw around with you. And I have a feeling this could be very well happening with Powell. Can you imagine the conversations he's having and people walk up to him? Hey, by the way, I heard you were leaving. He's like, oh yeah? Nobody told me about it. You know, when exactly am I leaving? So, you know, if you want to look at it that way, like, who knows? Anything is possible, man. But this just, you know, goes to prove again what we were saying. You cannot live a life controlled by a bunch of Looney Tunes. And you're seeing Clown World play out even amongst themselves. So if they are like this within their own, you know, elite group, so to speak, like, how much value do you think they put on you, the pleb?
Yeah, I think that's well said. Tony, one of my favorite things about you is how you can stand there and just rail on politicians, and then something else happens and we just laugh and laugh and laugh and, that, you know, have a joke at their expense. I mean, it's completely deserved, because this whole, we're talking offline, like this whole Trump administration, I think anyone who went into this administration super excited, like everything's going to change, it's all going to get better, I think is crazy. But I think there was reason for cautious optimism on a handful of fronts. And it's, to me, at least the last few months, it's just felt like rug pull after rug pull after rug pull. Shouldn't totally surprise anyone. They're politicians. They want power. They want money. They want everything, you know, besides to help anyone. But it is, I agree. If Rome's going to burn, we might as well get a few laughs as we go down. So crazy times, guys. Alrighty. So speaking of Clown World, let's jump into some funny stuff. So Germany 1 year ago sold their Bitcoin stack for $55,000. And so, this was tweeted at $119,000. Greer, I didn't know this. So we talked about this on Bitcoin Banter back when it happened. You said that this was obligatory, and you found the requirement that forced their hand, basically. Can you maybe elaborate on that?
Yeah, it looks like those Bitcoin that Germany had were seized. And so because they were seized, there is a law in Germany that says they must be sold if they are a high volatile asset. So the law is section 111P of the German Code of Criminal Procedure, if anybody's interested. But essentially, they didn't change the law as it was approaching. You know, they had a couple weeks to do something about it. They left the law in place. That forced their hand. But I think that the hilarious part is that they were classifying Bitcoin as something that could lose 10% of its value. So it must be sold because of this law. And of course, look where we are now. It's more than doubled since the time they sold it. So, ultimately, this is good. There's more Bitcoin in the hands of people, hopefully, instead of governments. But I think, if we're going to sit back and laugh at people, this feels like a good one to me.
Definitely. Tony, do you have anything to add besides have fun staying poor?
No, not really, man. That pretty much sums it up for me.
Okay, then now you need to take the next one. So SharpLink Gaming bought another 16,373 ETH worth almost $50 million via an OTC desk. Tony, so we've got corporations buying Bitcoin and then packaging fiat products on top of that, which we think is generally kind of dumb, at least certainly for retail investors. I can't imagine your opinion on institutions buying ETH.
Stupid is as stupid does, man. You know, Bubba Forrest Gump, you know, summed it up best. This is a pure example of folks that don't understand anything and are going to try to concoct all these gimmicks in order to to sucker in even more unknowing folks into buying them. This is fiat rug plays, you know, in real time. Why somebody would willingly put so much money in a cryptocurrency that everyone who has a clue knows is going nowhere but to zero. You know, maybe it's a short-term play that they're aiming for in order to siphon, you know, as much money as they can from unknowing suspects and then use that money, hopefully, to do something more intelligent than this retarded move. But again, you know, for me, you can't be bearish enough on human IQ sometimes. And this is like the perfect example of it.
So Greer, I would be interested to hear your thoughts on something. So there are sort of two different types of Bitcoin treasury companies. So one are the ones that we talk about a lot, the MicroStrategies, the MetaPlanets. And they're creating products, you know, that institutional investor, I mean, retail can buy. Don't recommend it for all the reasons we talked about. But, you know, they might be serving pension funds or people who can't access Bitcoin and gold storage sort of thing. And then you've got maybe just small businesses like River tweets all the time about like, hey, we had a dentist's office, you know, accumulate Bitcoin. They're not offering like a product on top of that. They're just, you know, strategically accumulating Bitcoin for the benefit of their company, which I think is awesome, right? I mean, the Bitcoin way has our strategic reserve in that sense. Do you think that these ETH companies, these ETH treasury companies, so to speak, are planning to package products to sell to the market? Or are they looking at the TA and saying, oh, ETH is about to pump and we're going to get rich?
I can only guess at what they're thinking. ETH, as far as my knowledge, has no supply cap. So you're essentially throwing money down a black hole. The other thing I would suspect is, you know, maybe what they're trying to do is resurrect alt season for all of the bag holders. And if they believe they can create a good narrative around Ethereum, maybe that will help with some of the other shitcoins that are popular. I think it's probably more about generating some fuel for the meme coins. I don't think that they're looking at ETH as a long-term investment, probably short-term gains. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, it's just a major mistake, just a way to burn money, essentially. I mean, think about where they'd be if they had invested those dollars into Bitcoin instead. You know, I mean, they would be far better in a very short time than what they're doing.
I kind of wonder if it's like the, they've seen ETH kind of dropping in Bitcoin terms. And if what they're doing is that, like, there has to be a pump eventually, right? Like, ETH isn't dead. So it's going to outperform Bitcoin over the next 12 months. And then we'll sell for more dollars. And then we're back to our first, you know, conversation about people, you know, or Tony's comment about people selling their Bitcoin for more dollars. And all you've done is gain more paper and you've effectively gained nothing. So it's wild.
It's like the XRP army who's still waiting for, you know, $1,000 XRP.
It's like
the ETH army is, you know, why are they so different? Same delusion, same waste of time, you know. Have to learn this lesson the painful way. So if that's what you choose, well, TikTok, it's coming.
I think the best indicator that anyone should look at is what are the founders doing? Because I remember seeing a video years ago of Vitalik saying, oh, yeah, you know, we sold X amount of ETH at the top. And it's like, why are you like, is this ultrasound money? Is this like the future of, like, what do you think it is that you're selling it? You know, it's all fiat games if you drill in and you're willing to look. And like Brad Garlinghouse, same thing. Like, I don't think he's ever bought XRP. To be fair, I think he's the one pumping it out. So all he can do is sell it. He couldn't buy it if he wanted to.
Man, it's like drug dealers. They never use their product. They just sell it, right?
100%. All right, we got one more story on the shitcoin front. So meme coin platform Pump.Fun raises $600 million in 12 minutes. And so this was done through an ICO. So Tony, I was giving you a hard time before we hit record because you've been saying that treasury companies are the ICOs of this cycle. It's going to be the bubble and shit's going to hit the fan. And I'm saying maybe ICOs are the ICOs of this cycle. And we're just going to see that whole circus again. I would be curious if you agree or you think this is just one big ICO fest of treasury companies, ICOs, and all sorts of other speculation.
Well, no, the shit fest doesn't have to be limited to one thing. It can be like a multitude of stupid ideas. So I don't believe in Bitcoin treasuries. That's a fact, publicly known. Meme coins, it's just a bunch of degenerate gamblers. That's human nature, man. People love to gamble. And so if they think they're going to make, quote unquote, a killing, you know, in a very short period of time using 10 bucks, well, you know, you're going to have, you know, a flood of these folks coming into something, you know, as ludicrous as a meme coin pump and with the hopes of, you know, scoring big. But, you know, most of them will end up with nothing and will complain about how, you know, it wasn't fair and blah, 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 you know. But, you know, again, gambling. You want to play these games? Well, expect these results. Again, another waste of time.
Yeah, there's no what do you say, Tony? There's no floor for human intelligence. The other comment I'd make on this, it says the platform's based on the Solana blockchain and they plan to sell 150 billion of its tokens at $0.004 each, and it already sold a block of 180 billion tokens at that same price to private investors. So obviously private investors, probably people getting in early. Greer, what is your comment on this story? And what do you think we're going to see more of this cycle, or was this kind of a one-off thing?
Yeah, I think we'll see more of it. I noticed that, the US and Europe were excluded from this ICO and the UK, sorry, because of regulations. But it looked like most of the, the action came from Asia. So I can't really speak to what people are thinking over there, but I would imagine that they're looking for some place to put their money, and you know, with no better options according to their, you know, their information, it looks like they're looking at get rich quick schemes. So, you know, will this happen in the U.S.? I think like the altcoin market here is baked, you know, and I think people are looking at the Bitcoin treasury markets, equities as the replacement for altcoins. Other than that, you know, the rest of the world is going to have to learn the lesson that, you know, crypto bros learned over the last several years. You know, you buy something hoping it'll 100x or 10x or whatever, and it just sits there and you've got heavy bags. So,
yeah, it seems like in the U.S., broadly speaking, there's been enough signal around Bitcoin as the thing. I mean, whether we like it or not, with treasury companies, lending products, you know, like you can't put your ETH up as collateral for any, you know, products that I'm aware of. Maybe you can on a small scale. You've got the strategic reserve being floated. You've got legislation right now. I think this is like crypto week in D.C. Like they've got like three pieces of legislation that they're looking at getting through, and they sound optimistic, and not to me, it sounds optimistic that they're likely to pass. And so I think more and more people stateside are probably looking at this and saying, I don't know what the validity of anything else is, but Bitcoin sure seems to be gaining a lot of traction, and, you know, has a lot of mind share, from powerful players, from the Larry Finks of the world, the Trumps. And, so yeah, it'll be an interesting ride, but, guys, don't speculate. Just buy Bitcoin, take self-custody, do it right. Gents, this has been good. We kept it under 30 minutes, so we're good on time today. Greer, why don't you give a quick handoff? Where can people find you, learn more about what you do?
Yeah, thanks. So I'm BirdFlip on X, and I sell low OPSEC Bitcoin gear at shopbirdflip.com.
Yeah, and Tony, I'm going to keep on saying it. Every time Greer comes on, I'm going to say, we need to get you one of those shirts, man. That shirt was made for a man like you.
So I did.
I
made a V-neck. I made a V-neck tee for you, Tony, and I added new hoodies to the shop. So
nice. All right, yeah, man.
I'll
be there. I will rocking be there for sure.
All righty. Everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Stick around for another minute. Learn a little bit about the Bitcoin way, but appreciate you being here. Gents, as always, great talking. Greer, we'll have you back here in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.